Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our Gemara today with the last line on Daf Yud Omid Beis. We will be dealing with the topic of a koimetz, a handful that is lacking some of the grain or meal substance that is supposed to be in there. The Gemara begins, as we said, at the bottom line of Yud Amid Beis, Komatz the Ola Biodoi Tsror O Gargar Melach O Kurt Levona Posel. A person takes a kemitza, the handful of the meal offering, and within the handful is a stone, a pebble, a tsror, or a piece of salt, or a grain of lavona, a type of spice. Posel. This renders the kemitza unfit. The Gemara wants to know, why do I need all of these examples to describe a problematic kemitza? On the outside margin, you will notice a Nose Mivne heading. This is our attempt to provide topic headings, the Nose and Mivne, structural notes, to each new sugya. You'll notice in the Gemara itself, if you scan ahead the next couple of lines, you'll see a recurring diamond. This is explained in the outside margin. Dugmois, examples, shel choser b'kmitza shemuzkoros b'mishnah. We will be highlighting the examples of the items or the elements causing a lacking with regard to the handful, those examples that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Hagemora tevarer loma tzrichin kol echod mehadugmaos. The Gemara will explain what the significance of each one of the examples are. The Gemara now. Kol hani lomali. What do I need all of the examples for that are found in the Mishnah? Tzricha, we do need each one. De'i tana tzror, had the Mishnah taught just the case of the pebble in the handful, mishum delav bas hakrovahi. The pebble alone causes a problem because a pebble is not something that is expected to be offered on the mizbeach. Avol melach de bas hakrovahi, salt, which is part of the sacrificial offering, emo tiskashir. If there's a grain of salt in the handful, since salt is something that accompanies sacrifices, maybe if the grain of salt is found in the handful itself, it would be okay. And yet, the Mishnah has to teach us that the grain of salt causes a problem for the kemitza. The Itana Melach, had the Mishnah taught the case of salt, the lo ikba bahadi mincha, the salt is not a part of the mincha. It's part of general sacrifices, but it's not an integral part of the mincha. It accompanies sacrifices, but as we say, it's not part and parcel of a meal offering. So that's what the Gemara means when it says, "Delo ikba bahadi mincha meikora." It's not part of the initial ingredients of a mincha. Rather, as the Gemara has in the parentheses, which we feel we will not read it as part of the Gemara, but it serves as an explanation, the salt is used in salting the handful before it's placed in the fire. But as far as an integral ingredient of the initial mincha, when it's brought in a bowl before the handful is taken, so the salt is not part of it. Aval levona, the levona spice, the ikba bahadi mincha meikara, it's one of the established ingredients of the mincha from its outset. I would think that if in the handful that I take there happens to be some lavona as well, that it should not ruin the handful. Kamash malon. So we are informing you that when you take the handful of meal offering, it must be just the grain material alone, not even with lavona in it, even though lavona is part of the mincha offering. Mipnei shamru hakoimetz hachoser o hayoser posel. My irya mishum choser v'yoser. Why teach about the problem of one of these items in there because of it being of the kometz being diminished? Tepuk le mishum chatzitza. Why not learn out that the problem of the presence of the salt or the pebble is a problem of interposition? Namely, when you take the handful of meal offering, if part of the handful that you take happens to be a pebble, so the pebble is separating or is standing between your hand and the grain offering. Amar b'Yirmiya min hatzad. The reason that chatzitza is not mentioned is because the presence of the pebble or the grain of salt or lavona is in a setup, in a situation where it's at the side of the handful. Now, what that means is that after you fill your hand with the grain material, there appears a pebble, let us say, at the area near the thumb. Even though the thumb isn't closed on the grain offering itself, or the it's near the other side of the handful, near where the pinky is, even though the pinky itself doesn't close on the grain offering itself, nevertheless it's at the sides of the handful. That's what the expression of min hatzad is, meaning when you hold your hand, let's say with the back of your hand facing the ground, so the sides of your handful are what is discussed over here, namely the stone or the grain of salt is located at that point where it's not serving as an interposition between one's hand's flesh and the grain offering itself, but rather it's sitting at the edge of the handful. Omale Abaye Lorova Ketzad Koimtsin. How is Kemitza done? Omale, so Rava answers, Kidakamtsi Inshi, as people take hands full. Now, the implication of that is that one grabs a handful of grain offering and closes his entire hand on it, so that the kometz would be something that includes all of the fingers. In other words, all of the fingers are closing on the handful. To this, the Gemara asks, Eisvei. We have a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source features the names of each one of the fingers. After we and what significance each finger has in halacha. After we read the source, we'll then highlight the main point. Zu Zeres, this is a reference to the pinky, the smallest finger. The one next to it is called Zu Kemitza. The one next to that, the middle finger, Zu Amo. The Amo is the longest finger, and it figures as part of the measurement of an Amo. Amo is a length. Zu Etzba, that's the pointing finger. And Zu Gudal, the thumb. The Rashi on Dibur HaMasel Zu Gudal, he says, the Gudal Libahonos, the thumb has significance in halacha with regard to the thumbs in the case of the mitzora. That's what Rashi says, Libahonos de mitzora. Alma, what we see from the source we just read with the fingers and their respective names, we see Bekemitza komates velo zeres. Since the fourth finger is referred to by the term Kemitza, it must be that that's the last finger that closes around the grain offering, and not the zeres, not the smallest finger, the pinky. So that's a kasha on what was said just before. If you assume that Rava's answer of kidekamsi inchi means as people take handfuls of whatever, and that's the way the Kometz of the Mincha is done as well, this source would stand in contradiction to that idea, because the last finger that participates in the taking of the handful is the fourth finger and not the small pinky finger. So the Gemara answers, that which Rava said, that all of the fingers participate in the taking of the Kometz, Elo Lahashvois. This is in the case of if there are certain minochos that are not granular, but rather they're baked goods. And after the loaves of mincha are baked, then they are broken into pieces. And then a handful of the baked goods are taken. The nature of taking the handful of a baked good is that it will protrude beyond the extremes of one's handful. So in order to make the handful a proper size, he'll use the pinky as a type of leveler. He'll wiggle his pinky back and forth so as to cut off any protruding baked good that may be sticking out from his handful below his fourth finger when it's closed around the baked substance. So even the pinky is used in the mincha process. However, the small finger does not close around the meal offering in order to contain within it meal offering. Hechi Ovid. How is the mincha then to be taken? Omar Rav Zutra Bar Zuvia Omar Rav Choyfe Sholosh Etzba Oisov Ad Shemagia Al Pas Yodo Vekometz. One bends his three fingers. We're talking about the three middle fingers of one's hand, and to the exclusion of the thumb and the pinky. He bends them over so that they're opposite the base of his hand, and then takes a handful like that and closes the fingers, pressing the edges of his fingers, let's say, on the base of his hand. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source. Quotes two psukim. One is from Vayikra Beis Pasuk Beis Malo Kumtso. That's one pasuk with regard to the Kometz. Yochol Shekumtso Mivuratz. Does this include a case where the handful has meal offering, meal material sticking out? Talmud Lomar Bekumtso. Meaning only that which is contained within the handful is considered Kometz. Not sticking out, not protruding stuff, substance. If I'm to emphasize bekumtso, does that mean that he has a very small, tight type of kometz, whereby he would, let us say, the roshe etzbosov is he would curl his fingers around it, the tips of his fingers are clenching the meal offering, as opposed to the upper part of his finger laying on the base of his hand. So, is that how we are to understand things? Talmud Lomar Meloi Kumtsoi. Not a tight, minuscular amount that would have been represented by Rashi Etzbosa, but rather Melo Kumtsoi. Ha Ketzad, how is this accomplished? Choyfe Sholosh Etzbosa Al Pas Yodo. He bends his three fingers, his three middle fingers, over the base of his hand, not the clenching, obviously, the base, because he wants to fill up his handful in this form, the komates, and with his three fingers bent, he then takes the meal offering into those fingers and closes the fingers on the base of his hand. B'machvas v'marcheshes, if you're dealing with baked types of minochas, as opposed to a soles mincha, mincha soles, the machvas and marcheshes are baked goods. So when he takes the handful of that, mochek begudlo mi lemalo ube etzbooi ketano mi lemato. He has to then use his thumb and his pinky as levelers to cut off, so to speak, any protruding baked substance, so that only the baked good remains only within his closed three fingers. The zuhi avodu kosher shebemikdash. And this is the most difficult activity in sacrificial service in the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason that this is considered difficult is that when you're attempting to cut off with your pinky and thumb the protruding baked good, you have to do it in such a way that you don't cut off too much, thereby creating a kamitza chasera, or remove too little, thereby being a problem of yeser. The Gemara asks on this last comment, Zehu Vesulo, just this, the leveling of the Minchas Machvas or Machishis, in the koimitz of the Minchas Machash Machishis, is the most difficult activity. Voika Malika, Voika Chafina. Is there not the Malika process and the Chafina process that are also classified as very difficult? Malika has to do with the cutting of the birds, simonim, the slaughtering of a bird using the fingernail of the Kohen, and it's requires quite a bit of manipulation, holding the bird in the same hand that he uses the thumb to sever its neck. That's very difficult. Likewise, the chafina involves the offering of the incense in the Kodesh HaKodoshim on Yom Kippur. Without getting into any details, the chafina process involved a very difficult maneuver. So why does the source say that the leveling of the komets was the most difficult, when these are also classified as difficult activities? Therefore, the Gemara answers, Ella, rather understand the source this way. Zuhi achas me'avodos koshos shebemikdash. The kamitza was one of the difficult activities of the Beis HaMikdash. Before going further in the Gemara, we are now encountering some new geometric forms. Let's take a look at what they represent. By glancing at the side, we have the nosei, the topic heading, and it says here, Derech hachnosas hamincha l'toch komso. A way that the mincha is taken into his handful. And the mivneh, the structural note that we have triangles featured, and the triangle surrounds the expression Omer of Popo, Pshita Li. We will see Rav Popo makes a couple of comments whereby he opens up his comment with stating that a certain points are known or are obvious to me. After which, and we should note that he will make comments in the context of the kmitza, the handful of the mincha, and we will see also in brackets, we will see Rav Popo makes a comment concerning the chafina. That's the taking of the two hands full of incense for the offering of the keteris. The markings also include the use of a double underline, and that underlines or underscores the expression boi. Most of the cases here will have boi Rav Papa. There's sidro shel she'elos, a series of questions, rubam shel Rav Papa. Most of them will be Rav Papa raising questions, binyan kamitza v'chafina, questions concerning the method of taking the handful of meal offering and the hands full of ktores, incense. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Papa, Pshita Li Malo Kumtso. When the Torah says Malo Kumtso, it Kidakamtsi Inshi. One takes it the way people ordinarily take a handful of grain material. One scoops up a handful. How does one do that? So the normal way that people do it. If we glance in the Rashi, we'll see on the third line of the wide lines under the Gemara text, Kidakamtsi Inshi, Machnis Tside Espoisov, Vedochek Bekemach, Vakemach Nichnas Besoich Yodo. One takes the side of his fingers or the side of his hand and scoops up with inserting this side of his hand into the flour and scooping up a handful. That's the normal way. What happens if one does it in a varied way? Before going further, there's another marking that we would like to point out. You'll notice there's a dashed underline under the word kumtso. We will be continuing this dash underlining in the next few lines featuring that word, and we'll notice that in the bracketed section, very shortly, the word chafonov is also noted that way. So Rav Popa says that as far as melo kumtso, that would be accomplished if a person scoops it up the normal way. Boy Rav Popa, komatz beroshe esbaosov mai, min hatzdodin mai, nimato lamalo mai. Three alternative methods of getting the grain offering, the meal offering, into his hand is what Rav Popa is asking about. Let's see what each one of these methods are by learning the Rashi. Rashi, on the fourth wide line under the Gemara, explains the first option. That's Beroshi Esposov, Shehichnis Roshi Esposov Bekemach, Upas Yodo Klape Hakemach. The Pas Yodo would be the inside of his hand is facing the flower. So he has his fingers bent over, and the tips of his fingers enter the flower while the inside of his hand is facing the flower. The fingers do a sort of dive into the flower with the inside of his hand facing the flower. The komatz melo kumtso ad pas yodo kitikno mahu. Is this a legitimate way of taking a handful? In other words, this is not kitikamtsi inchi as we described before. This is berosh esposov. Is that legitimate? Another question, min hatzdodim. Rashi has two pshatim for min hatzdodim. The Rashi says, min hatzdodim shenosan gav yodo al hakemach. He turns the back of his hand to the surface of the flower. V'hoylich yodoi ad shenichnas hakemach derech tzido lesoch yodo. He does this type of lateral hand movement with the back of his hand touching the kemach. It seems something like a snow plow type effect, where he's moving his hand along the surface of the kemach, and as he moves the back of his hand along the surface, the kemach enters his hand. Lishna achrina, a second pshat on this, on the min hatzdodim, Rashi says, min hatzdodim equals mitzide hakli, shelokomatz beemtza kli. He takes the flower from the side of the kli, and not from the middle of the vessel. And finally, the third question that Rav Papa is asking is Milamato Lamalo. What's this case? Shehichnis Roshi Etzboisov Bekemach, Vegav Hayad Keneged Hakemach Vekomets. Here, he again uses the tips of his fingers. They enter the flower, but in this case, his hand is turned in such a way that the back of his hand is facing the Kemach, and he scoops up the Kemach this way. Is that legitimate? So this series of questions, as far as the Gemara is concerned, ends with a teiku. The next part of Gemara, as you can see, we have a brackets that starts here, and it lasts just a couple of lines. The reason for these brackets is because the subject inside the brackets deals with a different topic. It deals with the topic of chafina. After the brackets, you'll see that the subject returns to a handful of meal offering, of mincha. That having been said, let's just read the Gemara straight through now, realizing that which is in the brackets is we can call it an unrelated or a side topic, but you'll see there's a lot in common with our sugya. Amar Rav Papa, pshito li meloi chafonov kidechafni inshi. When the Torah says that he should take a malo chafonov of Torahs, that is accomplished if he were to do it the way people scoop up, when they want to scoop up two hands full of whatever granular substance, and they put their hands into the container containing the granular substance. If he does the same thing in terms of scooping up the Torahs into his hands full, that would be fine. That would be what one is expected to do. What happens if one takes the chafina in a varied method? Boi ra papa. Chofan beroshe etzbaosov mahu. Min hatzdodin mahu. Chofan bezu ubezu vekervon zu etzelzu mahu. Teku. Once again, similar to the style of the Gemara before. Here, the Gemara, here Rav Papa raises three alternative methods and wants to know what is the din. So you have Chafina Barashe Etzba Osav. You have his taking the two hands full by having the tips of his fingers inserted into the incense first. That's different than kidechafni intrichaf. We didn't explain before, but kidechafni inchi is where a person takes the sides of his hands and scoops up two hands full together. As far as Rosh Eitzbosov, that is raised as a question. Then there's a question of Min Hatzdodin Mahu. What about that case? And here there are two pshatim in Rashi. The first pshat is that he has the Ktoris enter his hands full by scooping it up or by moving his hands along in such a way that it enters between his thumb and his finger, as opposed to using the side of his hand to scoop it up. A second pshat that Rashi has is he takes the chafina from the sides of the vessel as opposed from the middle of the vessel. And the next question was chafan bazu, where he doesn't scoop up with his hands together, but rather he scoops up Ketoris in one hand, and then scoops up Ketoris in another hand, and then brings the two hands together, as opposed to the normal way is where the two hands are working in concert with one another, scooping up simultaneously. This is a different case, therefore it's raised as a question, and the Gemara here too ends off with Teku, that it remains unresolved. Boi Rav Papa. Now we go back to questions concerning the handful of a mincha, of a grain offering, a meal offering. Davke lekoimetz bedafne demona mai. Person took a handful of mincha, and then he stuck it onto the dofen, the side of the inside wall of the klishores. This is during the time that he's Mekadesh the Kometz, because through Kiddush Kli, he puts it into a second service vessel. What does he do? He sticks the Kometz onto the inside wall of the vessel. What are the elements of this question? So the Gemara explains. Toch Kli Bo'inon V'Iko is Kiddush Kometz, the sanctification of the Kometz in a second service vessel, accomplished by seeing to it that you put the Kometz into the interior of a service vessel, and that is accomplished here. Oidumo hanocha besocho bo'inon v'leko. Or do you need the placing of it to a point of rest? In other words, not that you stick it on the side and then through gravity it'll fall to the bottom, but rather, according to this side of the question, the Odilma Bay side, the requirement may be that you must place the Kometz, and when you let go of it, it is at a point of rest. In other words, it's not going to fall from some point to a point lower in the Kli. You put it into the interior of the Kli at a point that it remains where you put it. So is that maybe the requirement? Hanocha besocha b'inon v'leko, and that would not be accomplished in the case of dovkoi bedafne. Teku, this remains unresolved. Boi mar baravashi. You'll notice that here the name is not part of our double underlining because this name is different than the boys that were raised till now. Up till now we saw questions brought to you by Rav Papa, so by our changing the double underlining so as to not include his name, this brings your attention to the fact that this is someone else. Nevertheless, he asks a question concerning the Kmitza, hence he's part of the series of questions. That's why we have a double underline under the boy. Boy Mar Baravashi. Hafche lemono, he took the service vessel and flipped it over. Vidavke lekoimetz bar isa demona mai. We're of course going to assume that the style or the shape of this kli is that the base also had a receptacle area as opposed to being a flat base. It was a base that had itself its own airspace or base kibble. So this the question of Mar Bravashi is, what's the din if he flipped over a kli sharis and then took the koimetz, and instead of doing kiddush kli, doing the kiddush koimetz in a kli sharis in its normal interior, he puts it inside the base of the kli, as we just described. That's hafke lomono. He inverted, or he turned over, flipped over the kli, v'davke, and he stuck lekomets bar isa demona into the base of the vessel. Mai hanocha besocha bo'inon v'ika is the requirement that you take the kmitza and put it into the interior of a service vessel, and this is also an interior. It's the interior of the base. Oy dilma ketiknoi bo'inon v'leka teku. Or when we speak about hanocha, it must be hanocha in the normal way, hanocha in the interior of the vessel, not inside not in the base. And if you stick it into the base of the vessel, so then you haven't accomplished hanocha teku. So this too remains unresolved. The Girsa of the Shita Mugvetsa suggests that the opening line of the Mishnah is not read. Hence we pick up with the next line, Ribo Shimna Choser Shimna, too much oil, too little oil, Chiser Levoinosa Psula. Diminished amount of Levona also constitutes a Psul. Hechi Domi Ribo Shimna. What is the intent of the Mishnah when it says Riba Shimna, too much oil? We've assigned this question to constitute the name of the topic of this Gemara. You can see in our Nosei heading, we've written in Mahi Riba Shimna Dikotoni Vemasisin. What's the intention? What is meant by Riba Shimna? The Gemara answers, Omer Rabbi Elazar, Kigon Shifrish Lo Shnei Lugin. A mincha has one lug of oil that accompanies it. He set aside two lug of oil and mixed them in, creating what looks like two minachas. So that's a problem of Riba Shimna. The Gemara asks a question, but the question itself lasts a few lines. You can see from the long question indicator, the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara with a vertical dashed line. The Gemara asks, V'lukma kegon de'oriv ba shemen de'chulin v'shemen de'chaverta? Why not explain the expression of Riba Shimna that he added a little unsanctified oil, or oil dedicated to another mincha, as opposed to this mincha? So the question the Gemara is focusing on, why does Rabbi Elazar explain the Mishnah of Riba Shimna specifically using this example, where he set aside two lug for a singular mincha? V'chi tema shemen de chulin v'shemen de chaverto lo pasal. And you might want to say that chulin, shemen, unsanctified oil, or oil of another mincha, does not ruin the mincha. The Gemara picks up in the middle of this next line, minchas chote de pasal bo shemen hechi mishkachas lo. If you're going to say that shemen chulin and shemen de chaverto do not pasal, then how do you have a case of oil passeling a sinner meal offering? E dido ha lesla. If you're going to say that you're talking about its own oil, well, it doesn't have oil. E dechulin udechaverta. If you're talking about unsanctified oil, or oil from a fellow mincha, is that which ruins the minchas chote, but ho amris lo pasal. But according to the way you set things up just now, namely the way we explained the Mishnah was it was mafrish shnei lugin and did not explain the case of riba shimna through chulin oil or other mincha oil. You said that that's because maybe those things don't pasal. So how is it that a minchas chote sin offering, a sinner's meal offering, how does it become pasul? The Gemara explains, V'Rebbe Lazar lo mibaya ko'omar. Rebbe Lazar, when he opened up this discussion by saying that Riba Shimna is where a person set aside two lug, he's not saying that to the exclusion of other things ruining the mincha. Quite the opposite. Lo mibaya de chulin de chaverta de posel. I don't have to even tell you about that. If someone adds unsanctified oil or oil from another mincha to his mincha, that would certainly ruin it. Aval hifrish lo shnei lugin, but a case where a person set aside two lug for his mincha, hoil v'hai chozile v'hai chozile, each individual lug of the two lugin, each one is fit. So if I add any one of those two lugin, either one is actually fitting for my mincha. So since each one on its own is fitting, emo lo lifsil, I might have thought that it wouldn't passel, it wouldn't ruin the mincha. Kamash malon, that's what Rabbi Lazar says, that even in a case where you set aside two lug for the mincha, even though each one on its own may have been fit for it, but if you mix two of them in, it will ruin the mincha. From where does Rabbi Lazar know this explanation? From the strict reading of the Mishnah, he discovered this point. My irya detani riba shimna. Why does the Mishnah speak in this fashion? Riba shim listening, it could have said riba lo shemen, where he added to it oil. But yet the Mishnah uses the expression shimna. Elaha komashmlan. The Mishnah is trying to convey this point. The afagav the hifrish lo shnei lugin, even though you set aside for this mincha two lug, the expression shimna is mashma, that he set aside all the oil in question for the mincha. Even so, that extra oil, the extra lug, will ruin the mincha. And that's how Rebbe Lazar knows to say this particular pshat. But just to review the main point, when he says hifrish shnei lugin, he's not saying that to the exclusion of shemen chulin or shemen l'chaverta. Those things, that type of oil certainly would ruin the mincha. Chiser levonasa. On the outside margin, we have a topic heading, no say, machloikis tanoim bema nechshav chisaron belevona sheposel. We will see a machlokes tanoim concerning what constitutes a diminished amount of levona that ruins. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that lasts two lines. In it, there will be featured two Tanaic authorities. Chosra, the levona became diminished. The Omda al Kurt Echad. And there remained one grain, psula. That's already too little. That's, and therefore, unfit. Al Shnei Kreitin Kshera. If the Lavona became diminished, but there remained two grains, that is still acceptable. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Al Kurt Echad Kshera. He is more lenient. Even if it's reduced to one grain, that's considered still a kosher mincha because it still has sufficient Lavona to make it acceptable. Pachos Mikan. If the grain itself became diminished so that there's less than a full grain of Lavona, psula. That kind of mincha is considered unfit because of diminished Lavona. The Gemara asks, V'ha Tanya, Rashi explains that this question is based on a brisa that one should understand. Reb Shimon is the featured speaker, even though there's no name that appears. V'hatanya koimetz ulavona shechiser kol shehu puzzle. This is different than what Reb Shimon had said on Omer Aleph. Reb Shimon said that if all of the Levona was missing, but one quart remained, it would be kosher. Here we have a source that says, if the Kometz and Levona get diminished any amount, kol shehu, any small amount, it becomes pasul. That's quite different than Rabbi Shimon on Omer Aleph. Tini, so therefore restate this quart Levona shechiser kol shehu pasul. If the source is trying to describe where there's a minor chisaron, a minor diminishing, and that renders it possible, that is true if you're down to your last grain of Levona. If you had set aside a full amount of Levona and it became reduced down to one grain, that's still kosher. However, if that grain got eroded and you're left with less than a singular grain, that will be pasul. V'boyesema, another explanation. Kan b'levoino habo im hamincha, kan b'levoino habo b'fnei atzmo. We had two sources. One suggested that even if a lot of the levona got diminished, got reduced, it's still kosher. So according to the v'boyesema, that is the case that was the case that we just described, namely that was that which was featured at the bottom of Amud Aleph, is talking about Levona Habo Imamincha. Levona that is set aside to be brought as part of a meal offering. If that Levona got diminished significantly so that just one grain is left, that is still kosher. However, the case of Levona Bo B'fnei Atzmo, Levona that one dedicates a handful of Levona on its own to the Beis HaMikdash, that's the case of Levona Bo B'fnei Atzmo, then we say Choser Kolshu, if it becomes diminished whatsoever, it is unfit. Omer B'Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Machlokes Badavar. There are three Tanaic opinions regarding diminished Levona. Rabbi Meir Sovar, and Rabbi Meir is likely, he is the author of our Mishnah, Stam Mishnah we say, an unnamed Mishnah, one should assume it's according to Rabbi Meir. So, Rabbi Meir Sovar, Koimetz B'tchila, V'Koimetz B'Soif. Our Mishnah didn't say anything, it just said, if the Kometz, if the Levona Shechisra constitutes a psul, then any amount. Therefore, you're required to have a kometz at the beginning and a kometz at the point that you are going to offer it. That's the first opinion, that of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Sofar, kometz b'tchila, u'shnei kreitin b'sof. Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you dedicate the mincha, you have to provide a kometz at the beginning, but if it became diminished and you were left with two grains, that is still kosher. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Kometz B'tchila, V'Kurt Echad B'Sof. Rabbi Shimon holds that as long as you started off with a handful at the beginning, if it got diminished, leaving you with just one grain at the end, it's still acceptable. U'shloshta mikra echad darshu. In these three opinions that we've underlined and numbered, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, 1, 2, and 3, they all expound on the same pasuk. They darshan the same pasuk. The pasuk says, V'es kol halavoyna shal amincha. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Rabbi Meir being the author of our Mishnah as well, the called Stam Mishnah, he holds Ad Deisa LeLevona DeIgba BaHadi Mincha MeKora. The mincha is not kosher unless all of the levona that was originally dedicated toward this mincha is still there at the time that you want to offer it. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar Kol, the word Kol from the pasuk means Avafilu Chad Kurt. Even one grain would be enough. However, there's another word that's to be darshan, es. L'rabois kurt acher. The word es comes to include another grain. So Shita's Rebuta is that if the mincha gets, the levona gets reduced, leaving you with two grains, that's still kosher. Rabbi Shimon, es lo dorish. Rabbi Shimon essentially agrees with Rebuta that kol, meaning even if a kol shehu remains, that's how the word kol is to be taken over here, kol meaning even a minor amount, any amount, even one grain, it would still be kosher. And Reb Shimon says that since he doesn't darshan the word es, he's left with what he said, that if you, as long as you set aside a full handful of lavona at the beginning, as long as one grain remains at the end, it's still kosher. The Omar of Yitzchok bar Yosef of Yochanan, machloikes b'lavona boi mamincha. Before we go further, let us point out a thing or two about the upcoming structure. We're continuing with Maimris of Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef. As you can see, the double underlining continues. And this double underline we had featured in our upper no say mivneh note. At that point, we noted Maimros shel Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef from Rabbi Yochanan behesber machlikas atorim levoina b'mishnah. The hesberim of Rabbi Yitzchok concerning the machlikas tanoim in the case of Levona Shechosra. At this point, we see diamonds that appear in the Gemara around the words Machlokes and Divrei Hakol. There are points that will be shown to be controversial, not Machlokes. We've seen Machlokes Tanoim, and there, the Machlokes Tanoim will revolve around certain cases, but there are other situations that there is no Machlokes Tanoim. There's consensus, namely Divrei Hakol. We will touch on three points in the upcoming lines of Gemara. One is a Levona Habo im Hamincha, the Levona spice that comes together with a Mincha. Levona Habo bifnei Asma, where one dedicates Levona on its own, not as part of a Korban Mincha, not as part of a meal offering. And a case of Levona Habo bebazichin, this is something we've spoken about in the past. This is the Levona spice that comes in the bozichin. These are the names of service vessels that sit on the shulchan holding the lechem aponim from week to week. Turning to the Gemara. The Omer of Yitzchok bar Yosef Rabbi Yochanan. Machloikes, the machloikes tanoim that we've seen so far, involves b'levona habo im hamincha. That's with regard to levona that comes together with a meal offering. Abo b'levona habo b'fnei atzma, divrei hakol. In the case of levona that one dedicates on its own, one dedicates levona on its own to the Beis Hamikdash, there is consensus. Divrei hakol. Kremis v'tchila v'kremis v'soif. You have to have the original amount of kometz at the end, namely right up till the point that you're about to offer it, no diminishing whatsoever. L'hochi itzrich asher al hamincha. That's why we needed this posuk, and there's a little arrow to the right-hand side of Gemara text. If you skim up a few lines, you'll notice where the corresponding arrow is. And the Gemara explains, this is why we needed that posuk. It says, asher al hamincha. Tebahadi mincha in. With that which comes together a mincha, we say that we can allow diminishing. However, b'fnei atzma loy, but levona that's not asher ala mincha, levona that comes on its own, there we can't allow any diminishing. The Omar of Yisrael bar Yosef Omar of Yochanan, machlokes b'levona bo im hamincha. The machlokes tanoim that we've seen concerns the levona that comes on mincha. And by the way, this observation of machlokes, compare it to the previous diamond where you saw machlokes, and you'll see it's nothing new over here. It's talking about the same thing as levona habo im hamincha. However, avol, the levona habo b'bozichin, with regard to the levona that comes in the service vessels called bozichin as part of the lechem upon him, divrei hakol, shnei kemotzim b'tchilo, u'shnei kemotzim b'sof, each bozach had in it one kometz of Taurus. Therefore, when we're talking about two bozichin, everyone agrees that they're just like at the beginning you have two kemitzin, that the kometz was the amount of levona placed into the bozach, just like you had two kemotzin because there were two vessels at the beginning. Ushnei kemotzin basof. Likewise, you have to have the same two kemotzin at the end. That's at the point at which you're about to put the bozichin contents into the fire. The Gemara asks Pshita. The last point of Shnei Kmotzim B'tchila, you have to have Shnei Kmotzim also Basof, that seems to be obvious. In other words, that's no different than the case of Levona Habo B'fnei Atzma that you said just before, there must be Kometz at the beginning and a Kometz at the end. Here too you have the Lavona coming in, these Bozichin. They too are an example of Lavona Habofnei Atzma, so that if we already know the halacha before, so then the most recent halacha is obvious. So the Gemara answers Mahu detema, without Rav Yitzchok having told me the issue of Lavona bo b'zich and divrei kol, everyone agrees you have to have the same amount at the end as you had set aside at the beginning. One might have thought, kevo de bahadi lechem asya, since the b'zichin come together with the loaves of lechem aponim, ka'asher al hamincha damya, it's like Lavona that comes part of a mincha. And there the rules change very significantly. There we allow a lot of diminishing till the point that you're about to offer it up. So I might have thought that the Lavona that comes in the Bozichin is like Lavona that comes as part of a mincha. Komash Malon, that's what Rav Yitzchok is informing me here, that that's not the case. But rather, it's viewed as with the same standards as a mincha habo bifnei atzma. Pligi bo Rebbe Yami, Rebbe Yitzchok Nafcha. There is a machlokes between Rebbe Ami and Rebbe Yitzchok Nafcha concerning these topics. Chad Omar, one of these Amoroyim says, machlokes, the machlokes Tanoyim will be belavona habo im hamincha, as we've said till now. Avo belavona habo bifnei atzma, divrei kol kovitz b'tchilo v'kovitz b'sof. But with regard to Lavona that comes on its own, every one of the Tanoim will agree you have to have at the end the same Kometz that you had at the beginning. V'chad Omar, the other one said, k'machlokes bezu, kach machlokes bezu. Just like there is a machlokes with regard to a mincha habo im, Lavona habo im mincha, so too there is the same machlokes Tanoim with regard to Lavona habo b'fnei atzma. Chiser levoinosa psula. Ha yasir kshera. One could infer from the Mishnah that since the Mishnah featured only a diminished amount of Lavona as being puzzle, if you had extra amount of Lavona, it would be okay. To this we ask, v'hatanya yasir psula, but we have a Tanaic source that says an added amount of Lavona ruins. Omar Romi Barchama. You'll notice we have a volcano form around Romi Barchama. On the outside margin, we have an explanation. No say mivneh. These are Maimros Shel Romi Barchama b'mafrishne kemotzim levona. Comments that he makes all in the context of setting aside two comets of levona. So Rami Bar Chama comes to explain or to resolve the seeming contradiction in sources. He says, "Kegoin shehifrish lo shnei kemotzim." The source that says Yosir Psula is a case where he set aside two kemitzis of Lavona. And according to the first pshat in Rashi, this is the problem here, is that it's just too much. Shnei kemotzim is just too much. There's a second pshat in Rashi that explains a little differently. It just so happens that the Tosfos seems to prefer the second pshat in Rashi. We, though, explained according to the first pshat. Continuing in the Gemara, v'omar Rami bar Chama, hifrish lo shnei kemotzim, v'ovad echad mehem, a person set aside two kemotzim, two handfuls of Lavona, and one of them got lost. Kodem kemitza lo hukpeu. If the extra kemitza of Lavona got lost before the kemitza was taken, of the kemitza of meal offering was taken, lo hukpu, then the two never got established to be part of the mincha and hence be a problem. Therefore, if avad echa mehem before the kemitza was done, then it's still kosher. Achar kemitza hukpu, though, if the second kometz got lost only after kemitza, at the point of kemitza, the two kemitzas of Lavona were still there, then hukbu, they are considered established, an established part of this mincha, and therefore it would be posel. V'yomar Rami bar Chama, hifrish arbo kimotzim l'shnei bozichin. A person set aside four komets of Lavona for the two bozichin that sit on the shulchan of the lechem upon him. V'avdu shnayim mehem, and two of these extra kemitas got lost. It depends. Kodem siluk bozichin lo huk be'u. If they got lost, the extra two kemitzes of Lavona, your basic two bozichin need two kemotzim, one kemitz for each one. In this case, he set aside four kemotzim for the two bozichin, so, and one got lost. So we say, or two, we should say two kemitzes got lost. If they got lost before the removal of the bozichin, then lo hukbu, the extra ones never got established or connected or fixed with the bozichin. How, and therefore kosher, because that wouldn't be a problem of too much. La'achar siluk bozichin, let's say the extra two komets lavonas got lost after the bozichin were already removed from the tabletop. Hukbu, so namely at the time of the removal of the bozichin, there in fact was an extra amount present. So that would be reason for pasling. The Gemara asks, "Ha su lomali hainuach? What do I need this last case of the extra kemitzas by the bozichin when I could have derived that from the case of the extra kemitza by the standard korban mincha?" And furthermore, can we not assume that the siluk bozichin is the same thing as the maisa kemitza? So just like we saw before that it all depended on before maisa kemitza or after maisa kemitza, so too we could figure on our own that the halacha would depend on before siluk bozichin versus after siluk bozichin. So what do I need to be told this for? So ma'ahu detema, without Rami bar Chama's teaching concerning the bozichin, I might have thought kevan de borir koimetz dida, since the kemitza in the case of the lechem upon him, namely that which is in the bozich, is clear; it's not mixed into something else. Kevan shigia zmano leforka keman de priko damio. Now this havamina is a stringency. I might have thought that once the time for the removal of the lechem upon him and the bozichin comes, namely at the time of after Hakrovas Korban HaMusafin, once that time comes, the time for offering the Korban Musaf passes, even if the bozichin have not been removed yet, maybe I should view it as if it's removed, and therefore if the extra kemitzas of Lavona got lost once this time passes, in other words, after this time passes, then it got lost, that would be a reason for passeling the lechem upon him, even if they physically were not removed, namely, just since the time for removal came, that should be enough. That's keman de priko damyo. I would consider it as if it was separated, as if the shulchan was the contents of the shulchan were taken off. Kamash Malan, what Rami bar Chama informs us is that only if it's actually removed will this halacha of extra be established. But by the mere fact that the time to remove came, that still is still considered as if it hasn't actually been removed, and therefore, if the loss took place before the actual removal of the bozichin, then it all will be kosher. The Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this section, in truth, we are about to begin a Mishnah that runs down quite a bit down Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We will simply begin the Mishnah and feature our topic heading with the structural note. There's a house form that appears, and this emphasizes the words Bachutz, means outside the Beis HaMikdash, and Lemochar, means beyond the right time, after the time. In the case of a mincha, the time for a mincha is you have just the day that it's offered and the subsequent night, and not into the next day. Machsheves pigul b'akrovas mincha. The topic that this Mishnah will be featuring is the problem of incorrect mindsets or thoughts during the offering of a korban mincha. So the Mishnah begins, HaKometz is a mincha. One takes a handful of mincha, and while he takes it, he has in mind, Lechol Shira Bechutz. He has in mind to eat the remainder part of the mincha, which is supposed to be eaten by the Kohanim. But he has in mind to eat it outside the Azara Oy, Kezayas Mishira Bechutz. If not all of the Shirayim, even if he has in mind to eat just a Kezayas, an olive size amount of Shirayim, that will be considered a Machshava. Or he takes the kemitza with an intention of lahaktir kom sabachutz or kezayas kom sabachutz. To when he's taking the handful, he has an intention to burn it outside the Beis HaMikdash, or an olive quantity of mincha of handful to be burnt outside. Oy lahaktir levoinosa bachutz pasul the ein bo kores lechol shirel lemochar. Oy kezayas mishira lemochar. Here, his intention is time related, not place. He intends to eat the shirayim on the next day, which is beyond its correct eating time, or even an olive quantity of shirayim he intends to eat the next day. Lahaktir koimtza lemochar, o kezayas mikomtza lemochar, or to burn the kometz the next day, or an olive amount of kemitz, olive quantity of kometz the next day. O lahaktir levona lemochar. These cases are pigol v'chayovin alav kores. These would result in a kores penalty. When you're dealing with incorrect time, that incurs a kores penalty. Zehaklal, the rule is kol hakemitz o nosim mikli hamolech hamakdir. Anyone who takes a handful or places into service vessel or carries or burns lechol dover shadarku lechol with the intention of eating something that is normally eaten. And when you're dealing with a mincha, the shirayim is that which is eaten. O lahaktir, dover shadarko lahaktir, or to burn that which is normally burnt. And that's a reference to the kaimetz, or the lavona. If the intention is chutzlum komo, pasul vembo kores, if the intention is wrong place, it ruins the mincha, but does not incur a kores penalty. However, if it's chutzlum zmano, pigol v'chayovin alav kores. That creates pigol and thereby kores. Vilvad shiakriv hamatir kemitzvaso, provided the kometz is offered kemitzvaso. This last phrase will be the subject of the continuation of the Mishnah, which Amir Shem will deal with next time. But at this point, we conclude our shiur for today.